I don't know.
Rabbi's translator.
Yeah, translator.
David translator.
Hashem, to be able to learn together this evening. I wish we had plenty of sheets. There should be some answers going down. Beginning by thanking all of our sponsors for tonight's Chabura. Oh. All right, so I'll say, we thank the following sponsors for tonight's shiur. David Baron, on the yard site of his grandfather, Zalman Unreich, Zalman ben Shalom Yono. We remember a man of quite strength and integrity, a champion wrestler. Wow. In the pre-state early years of Israel, served the Jewish people through the Haganah and in diplomatic and security roles, helping rescue Jews and protect Jewish life and heritage. So beautiful. A devoted family man, he is remembered for his humility, reliability, and deep sense of responsibility. May his memory be a blessing, and may that same spirit continue to protect and strengthen the families of Israel, the soldiers of the IDF, and the members of the United States Armed Forces.
Amen.
Beautiful. Jerry Applebaum, in honor of having his grandchildren visit this week and arrive safely back in New Mexico. Beautiful. So I will just reinterpret that in honor of your grandchildren coming and leaving. All right. Emir Sasham. Good. Coming and then going home. Emir Sasham. Got it. And Steve and Jordan Golaskov, in honor of Liora Markovich's birthday.
Yeah.
Ah, beautiful. And for Rafua Shlema for Tinok Ben Atara Yakira, we hope that in the merit of our Talmud Torah, all of the Neshamos Av and Aliyah, the families in the Chama, all those who need a Rafua, should have one together with Kol L'Chol Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu, Shemir Hashem, look out for our brothers and sisters in Eretz Yisrael. Shower them with Shmira Yisera, Hashkach Harpatas. Allow our holy soldiers of the IDF, Temir Hashem, be successful, Bechol Maaseh Yedehem, and come back to their Mishpachos, B'Shalom and B'Karav. And Halalai Vishem Bizocha, as we bring in Chodesh Nisan, with the words of the Piagetzna, B'Nisan Nigalu, B'Nisan Asidim Nigal, Geula once, Geula thousands of years ago came in this month. And Halalai Vishem Bizocha, Temir Hashem, that we should experience Geula in this month, in this year. Amen. So tonight and tomorrow, this week and next week, we're going to be doing something a little bit different. A couple of years ago, I showed you somebody got me this, actually, Yisrael Neuberger, got me this Haggadah from Eretz Yisrael. I think they get by it now in America also, the Haggadah of the Piagetzna. Wow. Now, the Piagetzna didn't write a Haggadah. But what this is that somebody, actually a relative of his, I think like it's a great nephew, kind of went through the Rebbe's Svarim and pulled out different pieces that are related to the Haggadah, that are related to Pesach, that thematically are related, and really arranged it quite beautifully. You know, I think we all have like Haggadahs that are very special to us. And what's the sign of a good Haggadah? A good Haggadah is a Haggadah that you want to learn even during the year, right? In other words, not just a preparation for Pesach. So this Haggadah happens to have so much in it and so much beauty. He has insights, stories, everything together. So Meretz Hashem, so tonight, We're gonna do one piece from the Piagetzna, but if it's okay, I just want to preface it with just an incredible maisa that he brings down in this Haggadah. So I didn't put it on the sheet over here, but I thought that this was just so profound. And I will say, you know, sometimes in general, you know, it starts kind of from the time that we're little and we begin to learn Chumash and we learn about Rashi and the Ramban. So we learn what these great Rabbanim had to say. We very rarely learn about who they were. And the truth is, often to appreciate a person's story, you have to understand, like the biography, who were they? What were they? What was their life? What were their circumstances? So the Piagetzna, we know the Piagetzna was born in the late 1800s. He was orphaned at a young age, a child prodigy. Again, the war broke out. He was only 34 years old. And he was murdered before he was 40. And yet in that short amount of time, the Rebbe changed the world. The Rebbe lost everything. He lost his son. He lost his daughter. He lost his granddaughter. His whole family was wiped out. Again, he had extended mishpacha who survived the war, actually were in Eretz Yisrael before the war. But the Rebbe lost everything. The Rebbe literally lost everything. But what's incredible, and this is what's overwhelming about leading a good and holy life. When you lead a good and holy life, by definition, there's a piece of you that always lives on. You know, whether it's in your own family, but you see even the Piagetzna, who did not leave behind any living direct descendants, but his Torah lived on, his Kedusha lived on, right? Well, it's like, you ever imagine that the Piagetzna sitting in the early 1900s or, you know, mid-1900s in a little place called Piagetzna, which is not far from Warsaw, did you ever think that he had in mind that he would have Hasidim in Baltimore in 2026, right? Who would have ever thought such a thing like this? That I would probably never even imagine that. But sometimes when you just devote yourself to self-actualization, you devote yourself to Kiddushi, you devote yourself to being an Eved Hashem, overwhelming things happen. But I want to share with you this Maisa, because to me, it was just so beautiful and so touching. So listen to this. I'm going to read it to you. He says, Echad, Echad Mizikini Sokichev, Si Perlakosev Ashuros, Kibnua Rav Lamad Begrzensk, Uliitim Krovos Hispalo Beminion, Shebo Amar Hayeled Rav Kalmishal, Ben Shalosh Vachetzi Kaddish Acher Aviv. So this is a story that's told about an elderly chassid who used to daven in the same minion as the Piagetist when he was a little boy. They called him Kalmishal. Remember again, his name was Kalmus Kalman Shapira. Right? Kalmus Kalman Shapira. So they Kalmishal. So this chassid gave testimony that he was davening at the same minyan as young Piagetzna, young Rav Kalmus Kalmus Kalmish, and he was 3.5 years old. Now at 3.5 years, he lost his father. His father died. So this older chassid says that the son, he was the only son. He was saying Kaddish for his father. So just so you understand, just you understand, a 3-year-old saying Kaddish for his father. So that in and of itself is overwhelming on so many levels. So listen to this. This is incredible. So as Chassid tells over, Pam his akish hayeled v'lo ratza lomar Kaddish. One time the little boy, little Kalmishal, wasn't saying Kaddish. He just refused to say Kaddish. Melamdov shalua lefasha aserov. Says Rebbe, right? His melamed. Said, Kalmishal, what are you doing? You have to say Kaddish for your father. What are you doing? So we'll say, listen to this. This is mamish like Eidos. Somebody saw this. V'hayeled heishiv b'tumo, the little boy, 3.5-year-old Piagetzna, right? 3.5-year-old boy responded, Eichacha ucha lemar Kaddish. How could I say Kaddish for my father? Sha'a sha'ani roa es avi yoshev muli liyad hashulchan. How can I say Kaddish for my father when literally I see my father sitting with me at the table? How could I say Kaddish for my father when I see my father sitting next to me at the table? Ha-chassidim shayu b'mayim etzeh, the chassidim who saw this, nisrashmu amukos lamashmu tshuvas hayelad. We're overwhelmed by the words of this child. And I was like, the maisa is so profound on so many levels. So first of all, that this little boy at 3.5 years old was saying Kaddish for his father, that in and of itself is overwhelmingly amazing and a tremendous Mr. Haskell, because we think that ultimately, again, adversity is an excuse for under-accomplishment. I've had a rough life, therefore that gives me a pass. I don't have to push myself as hard. And that's not true. That's not true. You had an easy life, you had a difficult life, everybody's got something. But we all have to perform. We all have to exceed standards. So this little boy, 3.5 years old, saying Kaddish. But I will say to me, what's so special about this Maisa is that this personifies the Piagetzna. Because the Rebbe lived in multiple worlds simultaneously. He's 3.5 years old. He's a child. So when he said that, literally, I see my father. How does he see his father? His father died. How does he see his father? Because the Rebbe, already from a young age, lived in this world, lived in the Olama MS, he lived in this world, he lived in the celestial sphere, he lived in multiple worlds simultaneously. And is that not the entire essence of what the Piagetzna tries to teach us? He says the greatest challenge in life is we think that because we are physical beings, the only place we can exist is in the physical world. And that's why, again, all these blockages obstruct our heart, obstruct our neshama. But the Rebbe says if we only accepted and realized and embraced the fact that we could live in two worlds simultaneously. I can live in this world and I can live in the next. I can live in this world and I can live in Shamayim. And I can live there with one foot in each. That's what the Rebbe was saying. I see my father. Of course I see my father. Of course I see my father. Because I live in this world without him and I live in that world with him. And I live in both of those worlds simultaneously. And from a young age, I will say, this was what the Piagetzna lived. And this is ultimately, again, the greatest legacy that the Rebbe taught us. Life is not a choice between being physical or spiritual. Life is about trying to figure out how to live in both worlds, how to exist on both planes simultaneously. And again, this all circles back. That's why the Rebbe says, what's the secret to this? The secret to this is get out of your neshama's way. Our greatest problem in life is that we throw up so many obstacles and roadblocks in front of the neshama, when instead, if we just let the neshama do its thing, the neshama can absolutely steer us and help us get to where we need to get to. Rabosai, that's what it means to be a chassid. That's what it means to be a follower of the Piyajetzna. To see my father in front of me. To live in both worlds in the same moment at the very same time. So mostly with that, let's go. I have a lot of other incredible stories over here. But let me focus now on the piece that I gave you. So mostly, so just to orient ourselves in the Haggadah. This is a really, really incredible piece. So remember, this piece is in the midst of Magid. So remember again, the midst of Magid. Just to appreciate. So remember again, the way that the Haggadah is structured, the Gemara says, is maschil beginus or mesayim b'shabach. Ultimately, again, we begin with degradation, low points, and then we end with the high points. So there's machlokas in the Gemara exactly what low point do we begin with. So some say, or at first some say avadim ayinu, we were slaves. That's the low point. And then ultimately we speak about redemption. Others say, no, the low point is mitchila ov de'avodah zara hayu avaseinu. We were idolaters. Avraham Avinu was an idolater, right? Avraham Avinu, again, that's how he started out, with idolatry, and he found HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Now I will say, in the midst of Magid, so we go ahead and literally we retell the entire story. By the way, this is also just a good opportunity to point out, the Haggadah, I mentioned this last night in my women's shir, that the Haggadah is not like Shmona Esrei. What do I mean by that? Shmona Esrei, you have to say every word. You have to say every word. That's not the Haggadah. You don't have to say every word in the Haggadah. And especially, again, when it comes to Magid, really the Haggadah is there to give you a framework in which to operate. And the goal is to be able to tell over the story and to make it your own. To be able to experience a sense of personalistic freedom. All the words, all the sections, there are some things you have to say, right? You have to drink the four kosos. You have to eat the masa. You have to eat the mar. You have to say, Rabbi Gamliel, hayo omer, Pesach, lo yotzei chavasa. Pesach, matzah, mar. Certain things you have to, but there's a lot of things that are there that are really just conversation starters. So for example, there's this section, Baruch Shomer Haftachaso LeYisrael. Blessed is HaKadosh Baruch Hu who keeps his promises to Klal Yisrael. How so? Because Hashem said to Avram Avinu, your children are going to be strangers in a land that is not theirs. And there in that strange land, they will be afflicted and enslaved for 400 years. 400 years. Remember, even though servitude, technically speaking, you know, lasted 210 years, but it was 400 years from the birth of Yitzchak, ultimately until we left Egypt. So we'll say, look what the Rebbe does with this. This is an incredible piece. So it's only one sided page tonight. He says, Arameh Hashan, nearly, the Rebbe says, this is incredible. Nearly gam mehai sayon. The Rebbe says, I want to share with you something that I have learned from my own challenges. And I will say this, you already know that this is going to be profound, right? There are things that we espouse, that we know to be true, but we didn't necessarily live them. I know it's true, but I didn't live this experience. That is, I want to share with you something now that I have learned through my own life experiences. Sha'af sha'adam tzarech lekavos b'chol rega, she'yoshienu Hashem. Even though a person has to believe, right, and a person has to wait and pine and yearn that Hashem is going to save them in any moment, mikol makom lo yismoch es kol atzmo al hatochales bilvad shemiyat tava yeshuaso. Rabbi says this is incredible. So Rabbi says, on one hand, Rabbi says, sometimes, you know, Jews sound like we're contradicting ourselves, because we are, because we can watch this. The Rabbi says, sometimes a person has to believe with all his power, with all his might, that Hashem could provide his salvation in a moment. In a moment. But yet the Rebbe says, a person should not rely on the fact that salvation is going to come immediately. Gosei, do you hear this? Do you understand what the Piyajetzna just said? I have to believe with all of my heart that salvation could come any moment, but I must also accept that it may not. That it may not. I can't put all of my hope in the belief that I'm going to experience instantaneous salvation. Kevan, shem chas v'chalila over eizazman v'lo ba yeshua. Because what happens in life if you're waiting for a salvation? and it doesn't come. It's like what Shlomo Melech writes in Mishlei, that sometimes prolonged yearning could bring to illness of heart. If a person, so to speak, puts all of his spiritual eggs in one basket and says, okay, Kadosh Baruch Hu, I'm ready for salvation, bring it, and I'm so calm, I'm positive it's going to happen now, and it doesn't happen. And it doesn't happen, because remember again, just because I want it doesn't mean it's the right thing. And just because I want it now doesn't mean that now is the right time. So the Rebbe says, I believe that Yeshua, that salvation can come in any moment, but I also have to be accepting of the fact that it may not come when I want it. And I may have to wait longer, because if you don't accept that, says the Rebbe, you're setting yourself up for heartbreak and disillusionment. Because sometimes things don't happen the way we wanted them to happen. It's not because Hashem's not listening, and it's not because Hashem doesn't care. It's just because Kadosh Baruch Hu has a different plan, and that plan is a universal plan of which we are a part of. Ubifrat is incredible. Kishe somchim atzman al eiza haftocha, o eiza derech hateva, sha'ata kvar tavo ha-yeshua v'lo ba. And it's certainly, again, when a person literally, again, is so explicitly confident that salvation is going to come now in a particular time, and it doesn't. No fel rucho v'nishpara ish mizeh od yoser. A person is broken. Yisrael say, isn't this incredible? I believe that salvation could come in any single moment. But what was the Piaget really saying? But the probability is that salvation is not instantaneous. It can be. Kadosh Baruch Hu could do anything. But the probability is, the bigger the change, the longer the runway. The bigger the salvation, probably the more time it's going to take. Because if all you have is the belief that salvation can be instantaneous, but you don't have the corollary belief, which is, but sometimes it's not instantaneous. And sometimes Hashem has a much longer runway for the actualization of His plans. If you don't have that second corollary belief, right? If you don't have, not the disease, right? Corollary belief, right? If you don't go ahead, if you don't have that second follow-up belief, says the Rebbe, you're setting yourself up for profound spiritual disillusionment.
You're not allowed to rely on a miracle.
That means you can't rely on a miracle to the exclusion of actions. He's not talking about relying on a miracle over here. I could be doing everything. We don't rely on miracles, but I still need Akash Brahu's salvation. All of us need salvation for something, even though I'm putting in maximum effort. I don't know. I need some big magical stuff. I would imagine you need some big magical. We all need big magical stuff. We all need it. We all need it. Maybe I don't need a seat to split, but I need parnasa. I need refuah. I need shalom. I need all these other things, which are no less dramatic than the splitting of the seat. Not to the exclusion of my. I'm putting in my hishtadlus, but I still need Hashem Baruch Hu's salvation. The Rebbe goes on. He says, "Lachain, this is incredible." I said, "Lachain, yachadim atikva li Yeshua b'mehira." Therefore, again, together with the desire for instantaneous salvation, Srichim gam lemar as divrei Eli HaKohen. You have to say the words of Eli HaKohen. Eli was the Kohen Gadol who said, "Vayomer Hashem hu hatov be'enav yasa." The Eli HaKohen said this is after the death of his sons. He says ultimately again, Hashem is Hashem hatov be'enav yasa. Hashem, you do what's right. Which was what the Piaget is saying is something so incredibly amazing. Daven for everything and anything you want, right? And plead for anything and everything you want. And believe with all of your heart that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could provide any salvation that I need in a moment's notice. But there always has to be a follow-up tefillah. And what's the follow-up tefillah? Yer Hashem. Hatov be'enav yaseh. You do what's right. I'm asking for what I need because from my perspective, here's what I need. And here's when I need it. And here's how I need it. But I also recognize that I go through life with tunnel vision. I see me. I see my life. I see my circumstances. And I don't see how everything fits into a bigger picture. So the Rebbe says, of course, daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu for everything you want and believe that He can give you everything. And believe that He can give you everything now. But right after you finish that tefillah, Hashemu, you are HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Hatov Be'enav Yaseh. You do what's right. And I stand here ready to accept whatever you decide. Whatever you, Ribbono Shel Olam, decide is what, I may not be happy with it. It may not be what I wanted, But at the end of the day, I am ready and willing to accept. Kala olam shala kadosh baruch hu. Right, the entire world belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Gam anachnu lo shalanu anu. We don't belong to ourselves. Rak shala kadosh baruch hu. We belong to Hashem. Ela olam b'rtzon Hashem banu. We only came into this world because God willed it. V'ki yumeinu b'rtzoneinu hu. And our survival, our existence, is fundamentally dependent on His will. Af el olam ha'olyon b'rtzono yisparach neilech. And again, when we leave this world, we'll go to the world to come. U'mashu yisparach rotzeh hu atov. So the point that Piaget is making is HaKadosh Baruch Hu runs everything. And by the way, not to say that Hashem runs everything and therefore we're powerless. No, we'll say again, one of the most incredible tenets of Chassidus is man is so powerful. We'll say, do you know why, by the way, that one of the reasons the Vilna Gaon put the Baal Shem Tov in Cheder, why he excommunicated the Baal Shem Tov? Right? Do you know one of the reasons? Because the Baal Shem Tov said, Ein Melech Belo Am. There is no king without a nation. The Rebbe says, yes, we need HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you know what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs us. Now the Vilna Gaon heard this. The Vilna Gaon said, blasphemy. Blasphemy. God doesn't need anything. Now, of course, what did the Baal Shem Tov mean? Of course, HaKadosh doesn't need anything, but yet He needs us. He doesn't need anything, but He needs us because we make HaKadosh Baruch Hu a king. What is a king without a kingdom? What is a king without subjects? The reason I'm sharing this with you is because we are so ridiculously powerful. But with all of that power, there's absolute, unadulterated, complete reliance on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I come into this world because of Hashem. I leave this world because of Hashem. I go to the world to come because of Hashem. Everything is because of the Ribon Shel Olam. The Eilon HaRishus, left-hand paragraph. The Eilon HaRishus, Levait Chas V'Chalila Beretzono. And therefore, we don't have the right, ultimately, again, to go ahead and rebel against His will. Tzrichim L'Spalel, U'L'Ischanin Elav Yisparach, She'yetid Imanu Chasadin Tomim. We have to dive into Hashem. We have to supplicate that He'll give us good. Chasadim niglim, revealed chasad. Aval kishachas v'chalila rotzu hu yisparach liyaser osanu. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu afflicts us, when we suffer, gamzos tzarichim lekabel bi'ava ulekavo shelo ya'azvenu rak yoshinim v'karvenu elav yisparach. But you know what the Piaget says? Even when there's suffering and even when there's difficulty, what does the Yid do? I accept.
Ready. He's saying this after his whole family
died. No. This is way before. Oh, okay. This is way before. And by the way, it's so important that it's way before. Okay. Because the reason why the Piaget was able to do what he did in the war, so again, and during the war, is because he had this hashkafa. Because he said, ultimately, again, Hashem hu hatov be'in av yasa. I wish I had my son. I wish I had my daughter. I wish I had my wife. I wish I had my mother. I wish my father didn't die when I was young. I wish all of these things. And that's what I daven for more than anything. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu had a different plan. And therefore, again, I accept that plan. And when you live, and by the way, it's not resignation to the plan, it's acceptance of the plan, right? Resignation and acceptance are two different things. Resignation means, essentially, I have no choice, so I give in, right? I give in, I submit. Acceptance means I am mekabel this upon myself. I actively accept this as the will of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I don't like it. I wish it was something different. But at the end of the day, Hashem hu hatov be'inav yaseh. You know better than me what I need and what the world needs. So I stand ready to answer your call. That was the Rebbe. And because this hashkafa was cultivated years before the war. But he entered into the darkest period of Jewish history with this hashkafa intact, and this is what allowed him ultimately again to do so much good and to continue to be a beacon of light even in the darkest of times. He goes on. Kilomar, kishaish mechazek es atzmo rak betikva liyeshua. This is incredible. As es hargoshas ra'as v'keev yisurin lo hichlish v'lo hekabo v'as kash lo lispo kishachas v'chalil yeshua mesacheres. See, Moshe, here's the problem. When a person, when their entire hashkafa is built on the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu always comes through, right? And Yeshua Hashem will always provide salvation. If that's the entirety of your hashkafa, then when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, quote unquote, doesn't come through, when Hashem doesn't provide me with the salvation that I needed, I'm crushed. He says, Masha'in Kain, Kishiyachad Imatikva LiYeshua, Gam kofef esro shova omer Hashem hu atov be'inav yase. But the Rebbe says that's why the most powerful hashkafa, Rabosai, is this two-pronged hashkafa. On one hand, I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu could do anything and everything, and every salvation I need in life, everything I need in life, He could provide for me in a moment, and I believe that with all of my heart. And at the same time, I also recognize that He may not do that. It's possible He won't. He might not give me the refuah. He might not give me the parnasa. He might not give me the shalom bayis. He might not give me the children. He might not give me the He might not give me the things that I want. And even if He doesn't give me the things that I want, Hashem hu hatov be'enav yaseh. And so I both say, in the Welt, in the world, this sounds like an inherent contradiction. Well, if you believe that God can do anything in a moment, then how can you reconcile the fact that He doesn't do certain things? And the answer is yes. The answer is yes. We don't understand how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works, but I know what I need to do to bolster myself spiritually. I believe with all of my heart that anything and everything I need in this world, Hashem can provide in a split second. But I also recognize that sometimes He will not give me what I think I need when I think I need it. And in those moments when I don't get what I perceive that I need, there's one answer. Hashem hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you know better than me. Hatov be'inav ya'aseh. If it's a choice between you doing what I want and you doing what you know is right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's go with your plan, ultimately over my plan. That two-pronged hashkafa creates a profound sense of spiritual resilience. He goes on, he says, because without it, if all you believe is Yeshua, Hashem Kerafayim, Hashem can do anything at any moment. Hashem can do anything at any moment. And again, He's going to bring salvation. When that salvation doesn't come, you're crushed. You're deflated. There's no wind in your spiritual sails. He goes on, Va'az yochol lispo yoser, o b'koach ha'tikva, And when you have this second part of a Yiddish hashkafa, the part that just is a simple mantra, Hashem hu, hatov ve'inav yasa, then even when things don't go your way in life, it hurts and it can be heartbreaking, but I'm not broken. I could be heartbroken, but I'm not broken. And therefore I pick myself up, gather the pieces back together, and simply move myself forward. Now, Moshe says the Piagetta, says the Rebbe, and that's why, but what's the tie into the Haggadah? What's the tie into the Haggadah? So the Rebbe is commenting on the fact that during Bris Bein Habsarim, Hashem said to Avram, your children are going to be slaves for 400 years. 400 years. Now, Moshe, do you know what that means to be slaves for 400 years? Look, this is a group of men, right? Generally, most of us, like, we get a cold for 3 hours, and, right, the world is coming to an end, right? You know, say, so, you know, everything is imploding. Hey, so just 400 years. You say to yourself, how do you hold on to hope for 210 years? 210 years is four generations, right? Four and a half generations. How, that means you, your father, your grandfather, your great-grandfather were all slaves. No one in your immediate family knows what it means to be a free person. How do you hold on to hope during such sustained darkness? The Rebbe says twofold. Number one, I believe with all of my heart that anything could change in a moment. But even if it doesn't, Hashem hu hatov be'inav yasa. Hashem, you are good. You are HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You do what's right, and I'm ready and willing to accept whatever it is. Well, so, you know, I'm going to stop here, but I'll just tell you, this came to a head this morning, you know, in Daf Yomi this morning. This was just like incredible. This was incredible that we have on Zoom in the morning. I mentioned this in Shir. We have a whole chevra from Eretz Yisrael who Zooms in. Literally again, in the middle of Shir, I'm watching because the Zoom screen is in front of me. I see a bunch of guys in the Shir. They get up with their gemaras and they start walking. There was a siren that went off. Well, siren that went off. Everybody went to their mama, to their fortified rooms. Thinking to myself, like, this is absolutely amazing. Absolutely amazing. Hey, you want to speak about the concept of, it's so easy to say, look what's happening. Iran is, there were seven rounds of missiles tonight. Seven sets of sirens tonight in Yerushalayim. You think to yourself, you know what, like enough ridiculous, how much do we have to suffer? Like how much do we have to deal with this? And you know, Jose, it's important to understand, Baruch Hashem, we see Nisim every single day, both in all of the Nisim. There was the elderly couple who were killed in Ramat Gan, right? There are injuries, and you know, sometimes injuries, it's not just like a broken arm. Injuries could be life-altering events, the damage to property, people's lives, materially destroyed. The three Biton children, Hashem Yikom Damam, families wiped out. And you think to yourself, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come on, you could do anything. We don't need Iron Dome or David's sling. We have HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just put an end to this. You could put an end to this now. But I'll tell you something amazing. What does the Jew do? Okay, yeah, I believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring an end to all of this right now. Can he do that? Absolutely. But it's not happening right now. So what do? And it's incredible. So it was the greatest muster that I think. What do? You pick up your Gemara. You go to your fortified room. And you keep learning. That's what a Yid does. That's what a Yid does. You pick up your Gemara. You go to your shelter. And you keep moving forward. Because at the end of the day, I believe with all of my heart that anything and everything can change in a moment. But I also recognize that more often than not in life, things don't change in a moment. And the bigger the change, the longer the runway. In order not to become spiritually disillusioned, one mantra, I'll say one phrase, Hashem, you are Hashem, Hatov Be'enav Yasa. And I believe that everything you do is going to be for good. You do good. You keep it. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you're doing great. You keep up the good work, and I am ready here to follow. I'm ready to be here. I'll take my Gemara, I'll take my Neshama, I'll take my Torah, I'll take my Mishpacha, I'll take my Yiddishkeit, wherever I need to go. Because even though I would like life to be a little bit different, I'm standing ready and willing to follow your plan into the future. That's how we're able to weather 400 years of slavery. That's how we're able to get through every single adversity. That's how the Piagetsna's Torah lives on even past the inferno of the Holocaust. And that's how we are filled with the most incredible, beautiful belief and optimism that even in this current war, Emir Tzashem, we'll get to the end. We'll get to victory. We'll get to shalom. We'll get to bracha. We daven every single day that Emir Tzashem, the salvation should come immediately. But we also see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, even if it doesn't, Hashem Hu, Hatov, Be'enav Yasa. We'll say Shkoya. Myriv in the base madrash.
Is that why the Rambam says
Ve'afapi?
Even though he's tarrying, we're not giving
him hope. Im kol zeh. Achak yalo. Absolutely.